do you say your last name? Samaha.
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 Of course, it's... many people say it different ways. Some people say Samaha.
Samaha.
But the original in Arabic is Samaha, which means forgiveness. So I say Samaha.
Samaha.
Yeah.
Very good. So when I walk into the Cooley Gallery here, I see all of these photos around me. What happens? Do you immediately say, choose a photo, or...
Well, I mean, you walk into the Cooley Gallery, you see photos, but you also see me if I happen to be here, which is my commitment to be here at all times while the show is open. And if I'm not here, the piece doesn't work, because it's really an interactive piece in the sense that there's an exchange that happens, but only can happen by me. So you see me and you see the show. And me being sort of this organic being, I'm not always poised to tell everybody when they walk in what they need to do or not to do. I kind of like this sort of the process of discovery. There is one piece of short wall text that says that you're invited to take one of these pictures home with you, and but only do so in the presence of the artist. So some people look at that and they turn around and say, are you the artist? I'm like, yeah. And they go, wow. You know, like, people freak out to see that the, again, quote unquote, artist is in the room. And for some people, it's really kind of intimidating that the artist is watching them look at the artist's work. So they can't really say, oh my God, this is, you know, BS, or look how horrible this picture is, or, you know, whatever. In fact, a professor from Wayne University wrote in his blog that he felt really intimidated, especially when he stopped and wanted to spend more time at some images that could be construed as being controversial, or, you know, of a subject matter that, you know, one shouldn't be looking at, or whatever. So it's very interesting that happens. But again, sometimes I do see people coming in and I don't see them looking at the wall text, and they look at pictures, and I say, excuse me, folks, by the way, I don't know if you're aware that you're invited to take one of these pictures home with you. And they look and they go, really? And I go, yeah, really. And then they have to go back again to start from the beginning, because now, which is really one of the main ideas of this, is that people look at the pictures differently once they realize they can have one. They're no longer just glancing at the images. They're really sort of, they start examining, they start thinking about whatever way they think about images, whether it's just composition, color, just something visceral. Maybe they think about themselves and why they choose a particular image. Some people narrow it down to two or three, and they spend like a good half an hour walking back and forth, comparing the images and deciding, you know, maybe they're just thinking, does this go over my sofa better than the other one, you know, but... whatever reason it is, but once they know they can have one, they spend much more time with it. Well, without telling which picture it is, what made you decide to take the picture that you actually did eventually take?
Actually, because I thought it would be really difficult to tell a story about that picture. Although I haven't done that part of the... interaction yet. I haven't sent you the photo back. I'm curious to hear what kind of story you'll write about it.
Well, you're absolutely right, because it is a very difficult one to tell the story about, because it's not a personal image. It's one of few images in the show where it's basically somebody taking a picture of a subject that's out there in the world versus an intimate subject, somebody where I am really in touch with the people who are in the picture. So it was a difficult one, and I had some ideas of how I would approach it, but by the time I sat down and written the story, which was after you had taken it, because I thought you were going to look for the picture, so I had to get on it and write that story, it was a completely different approach of how I wrote the story. It ended up being something completely different from what I had thought I would originally do, which is, in a way... I have not yet written all the stories. There's about 30% have not been written yet. And sometimes I feel guilty that I haven't done it, and sometimes I feel like I'm glad I haven't, because If I write them all at the same time, then I think there's just going to be something too similar in the writing. But if I let time go by and if I let certain experiences happen between writings, then each picture has also a different experience behind it and different something added to it that wouldn't have been there before.
But as you were saying earlier, because you can write a story, you can then you have another opportunity to approach the participant with a more explicit, form of communication in terms of your ideas about the world. And so I'm curious about what sort of ideas do you want to get across in the story? If you're interested in whether it's something as broad as politics in the world or in personal interaction, what kind of things are you interested in addressing in the stories?
Yes. both of those things are very important. We do live in a world where it's very complex. There's a lot of things happening right now that I'm not happy about politically. And I want to say some things. And this is sort of, as I said again, it's a platform for me to be able to say something. So I'm reaching each person on a particular level versus standing on a soapbox in the middle of a square and, you know, screaming. And it's kind of a very subtle way that yet people do meet me. They take one of my pictures home. They must like it for whatever reason. So now there's an openness that whatever I say, it's not like I'm trying to brainwash anybody or manipulate or exploit the situation. But, well, yeah, I am exploiting the situation, basically. So now I've got something to say. So if they live by their, they're not obliged to do anything once they leave here. This is a present. They don't have to do anything. It's not conditional that they take the picture and that they have to do something in return. But if they do wish to participate, then that means they're open to some sort of a dialogue or to hear me out. So I do say some things about either politics or about personal things. And there's a lot of images here that are very personal that I want to say something about as my experiences with relationships and private things that where most people might say, I can't talk about this because it's a taboo subject. I want to talk about it so I can demythicize it or make it less. We all have these things. We're all humans. We have so many things in common, but so many of those things that we have in common are suppressed and oppressed because of society and culture and what other people in power think and things like that. So I want it to be sort of an open subject.
If I look at one of these pictures and it's some people at a party or dancing, or maybe the photograph that the professor you were talking about had mentioned, something that was taboo. If you weren't here in the middle of the gallery, perhaps you would just see it and then think, well, that's taboo. But by you being here and also inviting that dialogue, it could give you a mechanism to break that down.
Certainly, I think just the fact that I'm here says that I took this picture and I decided to put it up, and that I'm aware that somebody's going to come and see it while I'm in the room. So if they have an issue with it and if they really want to talk about it, the possibility is there. Although it's not really, because some people come in and they start asking specific questions. Oh, where did you take that? Or is that a particular building? Or is that person? I'm like, I refuse to answer, because there is a second part where the person has to do something to quote unquote earn the story. Which is kind of cool also, is that once you've earned the story, you've earned all the stories. Because once you get to that site where that one story resides, you actually get to revisit the whole set of images again, if you wish, and you read whatever stories have been written already. So it's another way of extending that sort of cliched art visit, is by you once again, you have access without coming into the physical space to look at these images, which sometimes I look at them and they look really amazing also on a computer monitor. There's another quality to them, to have them there sort of in this kind of a template and the story below them and additional links to other photographs. So it's a really nice way to, again, extend that experience, that relationship between the visitor, the art, and the artist. And the communication is open if they want to continue communicating. I recently received an email back from a person who read the story and wasn't satisfied with it, wanted to know more about some individuals in the picture. So I invited him to come back and talk about it because I didn't think I was ready to talk more about the individuals in the picture. I mean, this is another issue about some things are not taboo for me, or I want to break taboos, but there are also personal relationships where the person in the photograph, things have transpired between that person and myself that are not necessarily important to the general public. And whether they are or not, they may not be... the other person in the picture may not want the public to know about them. So I own this image, but it's also the person owns that image of themselves as well, and they have the right to some sort of a privacy. So in writing the stories and telling these and showing these pictures, there's also this issue of how much are you stepping on somebody else's privacy in order to show your work. It's a very important issue.
You seem to be very concerned with kind of the social nature of artwork, and particularly yours and the way you've set up the interaction. And I'm curious if there are, if you have any other plans or past ideas or other concepts about concentrating on this social aspect of it.
Absolutely. I mean, the way I take photographs is a very social. It's really out and be out in the world and experiencing it. I kind of like seeing how people react to my work as well, to my images, to what I have to say. A lot of artists will put something up on a wall and they go home, and the feedback they have is whether it's sold or whether somebody wrote something about it. And to me, kind of like, it's not that I need the world to approve of what I'm doing, but I'd like to work in concert with the world to get a feedback from the world as if they like what I'm doing or not. I think it's just a very basic thing. Whereas many people just don't care. It's like they do what they do. They think they're channeling whatever it is, and that the rest of the world has to digest it. So the reason I came up with this kind of project is because I was angry at going at galleries and not understanding what was going on, and somebody would have to say, oh yeah, but you really have to research this artist and you have to find out what else they've done so you can put this in context. But if the piece itself that I'm looking at does not speak to me, it's not going to make me go out and research this artist. It's only if I do like it or not. And most times, I don't. So I don't bother to go research anybody. And if I do like it, I guess I don't really need to research anybody. I kind of like what it says to me right then and there.
I understand you were also a DJ for a few years.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, break down, baby.
So imagine if you're in a club and you're playing some records, you might have a sense of, well, are people dancing or are they not? Do they like what they're hearing or do they not? And so is there something analogous to editing photographs and maybe that time-extended process of mixing music?
Absolutely. When I was a DJ at not a nightclub DJ, I was a radio DJ before doing nightclub DJing. Actually, it was at Rochester Institute of Technology. And I came up with the idea that there's always that 50-50 chance that whatever you're playing, that 50% of people would like it and 50% won't. So there was some feedback, but there's nothing worse than being a nightclub DJ and you put on a song and you clear the dance floor. Unless you really want to go home and it's 5 o'clock in the morning. So, but for the first couple of years, I would laugh at people that came up because I always wanted to be part of the party, not in some ivory tower booth hidden from the public. I wanted to be right in the middle of them. So my DJ booths were always installed either like right off the dance floor or somewhere really close to it. So I had access to people. They come and I have a drink with them and whatever. But I never entertained the idea of doing requests. And so that was 2 or 3 years. And all of a sudden, people would come and request, like, either Madonna, which until that point, I would never even listen to Madonna. Or the most requested song ever to me was I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. And I thought, no effing way that I would have played these songs at my sets. And then one day I was like, okay, what the heck? So I played a Madonna song and the place just erupted, you know.
And you can dance. For inspiration.
Anybody who would have never imagined of dancing got up. And so it was like almost 98% response. It's like, I'm a DJ and I'm here to make people dance. So I guess Madonna's the answer. If you ever have that sort of that moment where you don't know what's going to happen, just put Madonna on. And I've since then really kind of started appreciating and liking Madonna.
But I imagine also in the same way you can collect information on people that come in when they choose photographs. You can see the same way when people choose photographs, and I'm sure somewhere you have a tally of, you know, how many times each photo has been taken.
I do keep a tally, yes.
And so you can see you know, what photos make people get up and dance, in a sense.
Right, absolutely. And this becomes sort of a judgment thing. It's like, people ask me which is my favorite photo or if I have any favorites. I say, no, these are all my children. You know, it's like, and I love all my children equally. So, but then still, I mean, like, there are people who come in and there are a couple of photos in here that are really beautiful, amazing photos, but they have been so selected so many times that I kind of like, you know, kind of smirk when somebody chooses them. I almost immediately, which is really not fair, but it kind of makes me judge their intellect. You know, it's like, oh, they're going for, you know, the masses are going.